you doing? My name is Jonathan Weir. Happy to be joining you tonight. Happy Friday. Oh, thanks so much for joining us. You guys are awesome. Hope you have a wonderful weekend, all 3 days of it. You do anything this weekend, Matt Butler?
I don't have much planned this weekend, and mine's not a 3 day because I'll be back in here on Monday to keep the radio rolling, but I think I'm going to just kind of chill, maybe go to the Folk Life thing for a little bit, you know, see what's going on.
Okay. I always love when I ask producers like questions like that. Like, hey, you're
going to
be enjoying some time off, and it's always like, I am chained to the board. They don't let me leave. If I can, yeah, I'm currently filing down my, or sharpening my teeth with a file so that I can gnaw off my leg. But yeah, you have fun grilling this weekend, Jonathan. You have fun. Hope you have a great time.
Now, I'm getting to that point in my life where just, like, even doing things around the house and just, like, domestic stuff is rewarding for me, which is scary, but it's nice, you know?
Yeah, I'm a little bit older than you, and I've not hit that at all. Like, that's
I must
happen.
Be aging early.
Yeah, must be, because I don't even know what you qualify as domestic stuff, but anytime my wife even gets me to, like, hey, could you mow the grass? I'm like, I can tell our 14-year-old son to mow the grass.
See, growing up, I was a weird kid. I loved mowing the grass.
Okay, we're going to get into the doom scroll in a second, but I just need to throw this out here. I love, dearly love my 14-year-old son. And the thing about both of my sons is they're both way, way smarter than me. And I don't just mean at they're smarter than me than I was at their age. I mean, they're just smarter than me in general. Like, they ask me questions all the time, and they're like, I don't know the answer to that. And they'll be like, well, Dad, the answer is Alberta. I'm like, how was I supposed to know that? Every question is rhetorical. There's nothing they need to – no information they need to get from me. But my 14-year-old son today, I told him to mow the grass, and he goes out there, and he's mowing the grass. And we have a lot of, like, little rocks and things in the yard. He's mowing in shorts. And I was like, okay, I'll just wait for him to learn his lesson. I'll just wait for him to come in and go, oh, I need to put on pants. Like, you've told me 1,000 times every time you told me to mow the grass. I need to put on pants. Can't do it in shorts. I'll get injured. Comes in, legs are just bleeding. Just like it, almost like he took an epilady to him and just ripped out the hairs at the root. Just bleeding. I was like, what happened? He's like, I don't know. I guess I shouldn't wear shorts while mowing the grass, but I didn't want to stop because I knew you'd yell at me. Apparently, my kids think I'm running a gulag, so that's fun. It's time for the Doom Scroll. First story in the Doom Scroll is this. Apartment applications can be very involved to the point where it feels like you're exposing too much private stuff, but this guy might have gone a little bit too far. A 23-year-old man in Oklahoma was at a realtor earlier this month, and he decided to apply for a unit at an apartment complex. They had a computer set up to fill out an application, and he was doing just that. That's when an employee said they received 2 airdrop notifications from another iPhone. Then another employee got one too. They thought it was something from an apartment, so they accepted, but it turns out that they were nude selfies of the guy at the computer. There was a shot of him in front of a mirror, naked, and a photo of his yunk. They called the cops, and the guy was arrested on the spot for indecent exposure. Assuming you didn't get the apartment. The authorities didn't say why the guy might have done this, but they did suggest that iPhone users adjust their airdrop settings to only receive airdrops from contacts only. I guess the biggest question I have here is when the guy sent them and he was in the room with them on the computer, after he sent them, did he pretend to be minding his own business? Or do these women look up from their phones and he's like got an arched eyebrow and like leaning on one elbow, just like, so, ladies.
They've had an epidemic of this in the past on airplanes, like people randomly airdropping obscene pictures to strangers. It's bizarre.
It's the modern version of hanging brain in a trench coat. That's what it is.
Right.
I mean, it's,
or as the Who would say, the Albert Flasher.
Yes. Like, it's, ma'am, could you help me? I've got, I have this map here and I'm lost, but nobody uses maps anymore. And any man in a trench coat is suspicious because he looks like the Google Chrome incognito guy, which is the least. By the way, could anything look more suspicious than the incognito guy on Google? Like, nothing looks more
Even
suspicious.
Even if nobody else sees what you're doing, he does. And he's perving
on
it.
But also, if somebody sees that on your computer, they'll be like, you're obviously doing something gross here, buddy. Okay, well you have fun with that. I'm going to let you go blind
There's
while I'm in
another
room.
There's actually non-obscene reasons to do that. But
sure.
People don't assume that's why.
I'm sure they exist. I can't think of one. So, I don't know.
I'll tell you a nerdy reason why sometimes incognito mode works. There are certain websites that are poorly scripted, and in certain browsers, such as Safari, if you're a Mac guy, they crash. But if you open them in incognito, whatever the forwarding thing is that hangs and makes your browser quit doesn't get caught in that mode, and the website loads like normal.
Oh, okay. That's a fair way to do it, or a fair reason to do it. That I never, ever considered before, because the only reason I've used it is for perversion. But that's just me. But if I am ever caught using it, I'll just give them your explanation.
Please do.
And then can you give me a good explanation of why my pants might be around my ankles and I'm looking out the window?
You've been losing a lot of weight recently, and these pants just tend to fall down more than they used to. You grabbed the wrong pair of oversized pants, and also you were checking to see what the weather was before you went out.
You're a little too good at this, Matt Butler.
A little too good.
A little too good. All right, next story in the Doom Scroll. Did you know that you can use your own photo for your driver's license in some states?
Oh, thank goodness.
Apparently one of those states is Georgia. But I say your own photo, I mean, like, you can take your photo on your phone and then sign up for a driver's license online, and then they let you use that photo.
I wish that worked for passports. That is a tedious thing. Renew your passport. Get a new photo. Just let me take a selfie.
Because we live in Massachusetts, and a while ago we decided we should go to Canada because we just, you know, it's like four, well, I guess it's also close to, obviously, in Seattle, but it's like 4 hours north of us. We just drive up there and go to Montreal, and we like start looking at the passport process, and we're like, you know, we're Americans through and through, all right? We are red, white, and blue Americans. We don't need to leave this country. We aren't. It's just with kids, it's so much more complicated to do.
Do you think they make it complicated as the first step of weeding out people who should not be doing international travel that we need to keep a closer eye on? So if you find it difficult to apply or renew it, we probably don't want you crossing the border.
If you're too lazy to sign up for a passport, we don't want you representing America in another country. That's actually probably right, and in this case it worked. Anyway, Georgia wants to remind people you do need to wear clothes for your driver's license photos. Apparently in Georgia it's one of those states where you can give them your own photo for a driver's license photo, but there are rules. They say you should use an off-white background without shadows. And you can't be naked. The Georgia Department of Driver Services has just reminded people to keep things classy. They say, quote, please take pictures with your clothes on when submitting them for your digital driver's license and IDs. It's unclear what inspired the reminder, but clearly there was at least one instance of people not wearing an appropriate amount of clothing.
Maybe there was somebody who knew, okay, the odds are if they're asking for my license, I'm getting pulled over for something that involves nudity. So I want to be able to make sure that my photo tracks with my behavior.
Right. There's some states that have rules where you can use photos, the same photo, if you like your driver's license photo. You keep using it for like 14 years. But at a certain point, that person doesn't look exactly like you anymore.
Unless you're
the
Martha
cops
Stewart.
Might be like, that's not you. Yeah. So if you get pulled over, the cops are going to be like, that's not you because you don't have that mole there. And I know you're a liar. So not only am I arresting you for what you were doing with that marsupial, I'm also arresting you for lying about your driver's license. Yeah, that's actually a very good point. Very good point. What photo would you use if you could use any photo for your driver's license photo?
I don't really love any of my photos, so I guess just the one I hate least is fine with me. I'm not picky. It's like, that's for the authorities anyway. It's not like a glamour shot.
My photo would be, granted, it's a little old, but it's from a radio show that I was on as a producer where they, for promotional video, decided to have me drink a fifth of Don Julio tequila, like, in one go, and then yell at the camera and smash the bottle on the ground. Now, here's the thing. It wasn't actually Don Julio tequila in there. It was water. They'd poured out the Don Julio tequila into something else. But it's a great picture of me doing it, and I think that would be great. Because for the same reason, if you're getting pulled over for nudity, well, I don't know what I might get pulled over for. Hopefully it'll never be for DUI, but I can't predict my future. I'm assuming I would never do something that reckless, but you never know. You know? By the way, even if you do pour out all of the tequila in a bottle and then fill it up with water, you're still going to get drunk.
Good to know.
If you guzzle that water, you're still going to get drunk because there's enough residual tequila in that bottle to get you wasted. All right, next story in the Doom Scroll is this. I found this shocking. I already asked you at the beginning of the segment what you're going to do for Memorial Day, Matt Butler, but the average person is planning on spending $356 this Memorial Day weekend.
On tequila.
I guess, but real Americans won't be spending it on Bud Light. Yeah!
The other 20 brands the same company owns that they don't know about.
Well, I can't buy Bud Light, and I can't buy Miller Light. I'm not going to buy Heineken, because that's German.
And I'm damn sure not going to buy it at Target.
Oh, my God. You know what? Where can I shop again? I wish Tucker Carlson was back so I could figure out where I can shop anymore.
Are they good with Walmart again yet, or are they still mad at them for something? The gun thing. I don't know.
Imagine having to watch cable news to find out where it's okay for you to shop, or to go on Twitter, be like, is this company woke or not woke or anti-woke, or maybe even the opposite. Maybe it is people like, I need it to be woke. I just don't care.
You know what's amazing?
I'm telling you, apathy is a positive traction as far as a way of life. You don't need to care about everything. Yes, Matt.
So true. But it's amazing to me how this has created a cottage industry where now everybody, who is it, Troy Aikman or somebody, is introducing this patriotic beer now, or his point was, he's like, beer companies are too into politics. My company isn't going to do that. Buy my beer. It's like, it's created a whole new industry where you can just make a product and then claim it's the anti-woke product and people will line up to buy it. It's a grift.
Hold on. Troy Aikman uses Bud Light's Dylan Mulvaney fiasco to promote his own beer. Okay. Yeah. You know what? I'll stick to the beer of champions, Coors Light, because that's what Patrick Mahomes drinks.
Nice.
Troy, that's fine.
I approve.
But you know what? Troy won 3 rings. Patrick's only won 2, but I would think that anybody would take Patrick over Troy any day. Anyway, point is, you're 100% right. That it's getting ridiculous with political causes and political anthems. And it's also stuff that I don't even think is intended to be political. I don't think when Bud Light did this thing with Dylan Mulvaney that they intended anything to happen with it other than they're like, oh, we'll reach out to a different audience.
Yeah, it's people not telling you how to vote. That. It's not promoting a party. It's just saying, hey, here's different types of people that drink Bud Light. Well, surprise, surprise. Guess what? People of lifestyles and different flavors that you may or may not agree with have always been drinking Bud Light and any other beer.
Yeah. You know what they have in common? They just like beer. That's it. They just
have
watered down garbage beer. Like, if there's a reason to blow up Bud Light and hate it, it's because it tastes like crap. It's, as my friend Rod used to say, it's like having sex in a canoe because it's close to water. That's what it is.
Well, somebody asked a question that I thought was rather unfortunate, but they said, well, now does Kid Rock have to shoot up a target, too?
Oh, God. Oh. Yeah. I don't know if he knows where the nearest target is. Anyway, I don't think that's in his wheelhouse. I think he'd have to maybe... Is Walmart okay, or are they going to do something that pisses these people off?
Well, I think some Walmarts got on the bad side of people from that side of the political aisle because they stopped selling certain guns in certain stores, and only in certain locations even. But that was a kerfluffle, and I love using the word kerfluffle. Kerfluffle, it's if funny. I can say it.
Yeah. It's a flustercluck.
Yes, that too. Even,
which is fun to say when I've been up for way too long into a microphone that is being... monitored by the FCC.
And can so easily turn out wrong.
I know. I came very close. I don't know. I just buy Bud Light to blow it up. That's the only reason. The only reason I buy it is I give Budweiser my money to blow up their product so I have a cool clout-worthy video.
And you put that Bud Light in your Yeti cooler.
Yep. Blow that up and, inside of my... What car would be woke? Like a Volvo? I don't even
Subarus?
Know.
Priuses?
Subarus. Prius. That's got to be it. Yeah.
Oh, did you see how they were upset about this pride-painted Ford pickup? That like it was like 3 years ago or 2 years ago, and all of a sudden it's making the rounds again. Oh, they painted a pickup in pride colors.
No. I know it's we get a lot of mileage out of this and talking about this stuff, and I find it ridiculous, but like most people don't feel this way, right?
Yeah, like, statistically, most people don't care because you know they have the phrase "go woke, go broke." I've looked at all these companies. Yeah, they may take a hit in the market, but none of them have gone broke yet.
Well, it's like Budweiser's losing tons of money. No, they haven't. They haven't lost any money. They're actually doing fine. In fact, they should bring
the frogs back, though. I miss those guys.
Their stock went up after the Dylan Mulvaney thing. And, yeah, it would go through the roof if they brought back Spuds McKenzie.
Yes.
That little guy. He was a party animal is what he was.
Literally.
All right. Last thing in the Doom Scroll real quick is this. 1 in 5 of us think our British accent could fake... out a British person. 1 in 5 Americans think their fake British accent could be good enough to fool an actual British person. Young people are especially confident. I think that's actually, that sounds like a hubristic take, and that people, but I bet that's probably true, right?
I don't know. I think people are overestimating their abilities, but you know what surprises me is how good people from the UK are at American accents.
That's
of course, you know Breaking Bad.
Saying.
Remember Laura Frazier, her character? She's Scottish.
Right. That's what it is. Is if they can fake an American accent, then I don't know why our British accents. Have you ever seen Snatch?
Oh yes,
Brad Pitt.
Many times.
Brad freaking Pitt is doing a hardcore like Irish, Scottish, weird. It's called a pikey. Accent in the movie, you can't understand a damn word he's saying.
Do you like dags? Dags.
Yeah, do you like dags? Dags. Dogs. Yeah, I like dogs.
I like dogs.
Yeah, right. He's fantastic in it. I mean, if you lived underneath a rock and you had no idea who Brad Pitt was, it would fool you. So, I don't know. I think 1 in 5 is accurate. Governor? My thing would be I wouldn't be trying to fool them. I would be leaning into how atrocious it sounds. Right, I'm going to take the lorry up the tube, and we're going to go to the Fitbit match.
And that would tip them off because no British normal person talks like that.
Which would be fun for me. Now, I grew up in Gustenschlafzister. Governor?
Grew up in Leeds. Used to see the Who play live there all the time.
It is Kyra Knights. We'll be back with more after this. right. How are you guys doing? Happy Friday. It's me, Jonathan Weir. I got Matt Butler back in the studio. And we're going to do a little bit now on a Friday called Hell. Sell. Or, where I take real-life scenarios from actual people who truly exist, and then we decide whether that person is going to hell, jail, or they just shut up and stop complaining, and oh my God, this isn't that big of a deal. Why are you even telling us about this? So here's the first one. This is from Aaron, who says, about 20 years ago, when we were at college, my friend lost his wallet. Later, I found it in my room, and for some reason, decided to pocket the cash inside and dump the evidence. It haunts me to this day, but I am too ashamed to apologize to him. So, Matt, is he going to hell, a cell, or whatever?
It's a reluctant oh well, because while what he did was wrong, I would say after so much passage of time, how do you even bring it back up? He says he regrets it. And I imagine he didn't, there wasn't so much money in it that he's still spending it. So I would say let him go and live with his guilt.
Yeah, I agree with that. If your friend didn't, like, I don't know, he wasn't in a situation where he needed the money, or you didn't take so much money from him that it really put him out, then, yeah, right? And this is actually one of those situations where you'd be better off going to sell, because then you can assuage your guilt and be like, well, I served my time, right?
Yeah.
The real prison is in your mind, as Creed taught us.
Yeah. Oh, boy, how well I remember. They taught us that in many, many times over.
Many, 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 many other lessons. All right, next one. Hell, sell, or oh well. Started helping my wife. Oh, by the way, this is from Michael, who says, I started helping my wife with chores, and I realized what a terrible job she does. I told her about it, and she said that she doesn't have enough time to do chores effectively because she's working full time. I said, that's not an excuse. You want the house to be clean, then you should clean it. Yeah, you're going to hell. That's just my opinion.
I'm going to go with sell on this one, and here's why. When he spends enough time in jail, and it doesn't have to be long, he's going to really appreciate his home and his wife, and he's going to know better next time.
Or he'll come back home and be like, you know, my jail cell was cleaner than this.
Highly unlikely, but I suppose he could.
I think they have to keep those pretty clean, I'd imagine. I don't know. I could talk to my friend who used to be a CO. He'd probably confirm it. I think, like, legally, they probably have to keep it. Like, restaurants
know.
Are always
some
cleaner
of those
than kitchens.
For-profit prisons seem like hard. I mean, prison's bad enough, but some of them seem like hellscapes on top of it. Then you look at, like, a Swiss or Norwegian jail, and it's like, oh, they've even got flowers in the window.
They have a spa. They have somebody cutting cucumbers to put over your eyes so that you can enjoy your spa day. It's amazing. I want to go murder someone in Norway to really relax.
Yet?
No.
Okay. Well, there's one where Paperboy ends up in a jail in Amsterdam or somewhere. It's pretty impressive.
I gotta tell you, you see some of those jails and you're like, this is much. That cell's bigger than my apartment. All right, next one. Hell, sell, or whatever. This is from Harry. Says the house next door to me is up for sale and empty. They have French doors that have been unlocked, so I go in and use the shower and the kitchen to cook. It saves me a fortune on energy bills.
I actually kind of admire this guy on some level.
I want to say definitely going to a cell, but in my heart, I'm...
I mean, look at it this way. You gotta run the water occasionally. You gotta make sure things are still working. If they're going to leave it wide open, that's the least of society's problems. Good for him.
Well, yeah, great point. If they're leaving their door unlocked and their house is for sale, That's on them. You could be doing worse things in the house than that.
As long as he's polite enough to, if people walk in, he'll just show them the house.
Yeah,
that should be kind of his rent for the utilities, his payment for the utilities.
He comes out with a towel around his waist, and they're like, oh, you're the Murphys. You're here for the 2 o'clock. Okay, well.
Check out the backyard. What a view.
There was an episode of Scrubs where he had a lot of land, but he didn't have a plot of land, I guess I should say, and he didn't have a bathroom, and he had to use his neighbor's house, and so he broke in. And he's going to the bathroom and finds out that he's got some issue where every time he poos, he passes out.
Oh, dear.
Because his vagus nerve gets stimulated or something. And, yeah, so they find him in the bathroom with his pants around his ankles, passed out. I'm just saying, it could be worse. You could be doing worse things. And you probably should go to jail, but... Honestly, I admire your courage.
I mean, if he cleans up after himself, too, it's probably minimal as to the damage he's doing.
That's true. That's a good point. If they're not noticing it, well, they're not home. I don't know. All right. Next one. My dog once jumped onto the sofa and grabbed my dad's steak off of his plate. By the way, this is from Perry. While he answered the door, I managed to get it back off of the dog. I managed to get it back from the dog, wipe it down, and get it back on his plate before he returned. Never told him to this day.
Disgusting. Disgusting.
Yeah. You're going to hell, dude.
Yeah. Given the way I would react if I learned somebody had done that to me, I'm saying, you know, some perdition, at least purgatory.
Where yeah, you're like, you're in the...
Dog nibbled steaks.
So, yeah, I guess when we say the person's going to hell, we need to go full inferno on it and decide which ring of hell. Are they, like, in the unbaptized circle?
Yeah, like, I'm not going to put this guy in eternal conscious torment, but I think there should be some time served.
Yeah, he's not in, like, the lake of vomit or being eaten by Lucifer with Judas and Brutus or anything like that. But definitely, like, in the... unbaptized circle, I think, is where you're at. That's disgusting. On top of that, like, what? Where you think you're doing your dad a favor by saving his steak? Because I gotta tell you, I love steak. I grill a steak just about every week. If my dog got it and my wife is like, oh, I put it back on the plate because I knew you'd be upset, I'd be like, I'm more upset that I ate dog steak.
Like, at that point, you just give it to the dog.
Yeah, yeah. You're right. That poor dog was probably like, oh, he got
so
a
he's
treat.
He's also mean to animals. So that's actually a double whammy. Maybe we should put him in a different circle.
Yeah, you know what? I don't know what the animal cruelty level is, but it's got to be deeper
because that dog
than
was
the
probably
unbaptized.
Salivating. He's real excited for that steak. And then this jerk of a human yanked it out of his mouth and put it back on the plate.
The dog is like, this is the best day of my life. Why is this guy trying to deprive me of it? All right, last one we'll do is this. It's from William. It says, writing is a big part of my job. My boss likes and has fewer criticisms of the text that I copy and paste from ChatGPT. and he's actually likes the writing of ChatGPT a lot more than my own writing. It's only a matter of time before AI replaces me and everyone else when he finds out.
That's a total oh well for me. He's sticking it to the man. It's inevitable.
Now, I agree with you 100%. He's sticking it to the man. On top of that, I will say this, William. If your writing is so bad that ChatGPT is better, then it's only a matter of time before you get fired anyway. Because ChatGPT ain't great.
He's
like, grammatically,
using a tool
it's fine.
To be productive. It's not, as long as he's doing the work and it's accurate, I don't think he's really doing anything awful.
Well, except for he's just typing in a prompt into ChatGPT and then copying and pasting it.
Well, yeah.
It's a little bit unethical.
It's unethical, but is it harming him or his workplace? If it's not, then I just wouldn't care. He'll get
fired.
Here's
where it would become... I'm with you. I'm not moving off of meh on this. But I think where it would become unethical is if his boss is like, you know, your writing is so good, I was thinking about replacing everybody here with ChatGPT. But I'm not going to because you've proven to me that the human experience matters so much more.
Yeah, at that point, if he doesn't fess up, he's causing other people's job loss, then it becomes a problem.
Yeah. All right. How much time do we have left?
Very little.
Okay. All right. Then we're done. Coming up, because Memorial Day is this Monday, I figured we should do something other than reading a letter from a soldier who's tired of you telling him thanks for your service. We're going to talk about what are the best movies about soldiers of all time. What are the best soldier movies of all time? That's next at Cairo Nights. Originally, what, a T-Rex song? Am I wrong?
An artist by the name of Thunderclap Newman.
I knew I was... I'm actually kind of happy that I wasn't that far off by saying T-Rex. The Thunder Lizard. It's actually Tyrant Lizard, but whatever. Thunderclap Newman? Is that what you said?
Yeah, one-hit wonder.
Love this song.
They sing a version of the original in the movie Almost Famous.
This is the Tom Petty, George Harrison version, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love this one. All right, so it is Memorial Day weekend, officially now, and obviously a lot of people would be sitting here and telling you, remember the importance of the day, and I'm not going to tell you guys that, you know that. So I'm going to say, what are you going to be doing this weekend as far as movies or TV shows are concerned? And soldiers, because that is actually a good tradition to uphold. I have that personally where I have, not every single year, but I have tried just about every year to watch the entire miniseries of Band of Brothers on DVD or now on streaming, because it is amazing and does give me an appreciation for just how much crap soldiers went through in World War II. I'll ask you, Matt Butler, what is your favorite movie or TV show about soldiers?
Okay, so for me, this is not going to be kind of a war drama thing. It's going to be about the life of a somewhat just a total icon that inspired soldiers in a different way, Adrian Cronauer in Good Morning Vietnam.
Oh, I love, great pick. Because, I mean, in a way, it is about the horribleness of war, because it was important for him to be there to entertain those guys while they were going through absolute crap. Yeah,
but it
love
differs
it.
From a lot of the big films about the military, and it doesn't focus on the battle. It focuses on the behind the scenes and the context around it, which is also something I enjoyed a lot about MASH.
I was actually going to throw out there that either the TV show or, and nobody has enough time to sit down and watch the TV show. If you had a year off, you wouldn't have enough time to sit down and watch the entire TV show. But the movie, MASH, with Donald Sutherland, is absolutely fantastic, and you should watch it. It is amazing and one of my favorite movies of all time. The book is also great, too. If I could put out some more on-the-nose ones, obviously Saving Private Ryan goes on there, Flags of Our Fathers, Black Hawk Down.
Dunkirk would be on my list.
Dunkirk is fantastic, too. A movie that I believe won Best Director at the Oscars, but I don't think it won Best Picture. Jeremy Renner's first big movie, The Hurt Locker, which is fantastic and will have you holding your breath the entire movie. It's about a guy defusing bombs. And we talked about this earlier, but the roots of Memorial Day go back to a town in South Carolina digging up the bodies of Union soldiers that were all buried in a mass grave because they were an integrated unit, and then burying them in individual plots with dignity. You should check out Glory. If you've never watched Glory, it is an amazing movie. All Together is a fantastic movie. And it's weird to watch because, like, it wasn't too much after Ferris Bueller's Day Off that then Matthew Broderick is then playing the head of a unit in the Civil War, and like, I'm a big man. It's just like, he's got daddy's shoes on, but he does a great job. He's amazing at it. So yeah, I'm trying to think of any other. There's not a lot of TV shows that are great that are military based other than MASH.
Hogan's Heroes, if you're into that.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. That aren't like kind of farces. There's also F Troop.
Yeah.
If you want to watch that. Ken Berry. And you know what I did like about F Troop? And it's funny because I remember watching on Nick at Night when I was a kid and then growing up and hearing people like, oh, F Troop was so racist. Actually, it wasn't because the Native Americans on F Troop were always the smart ones, and they were always ripping off the white dudes. Like, they, maybe it's not the best portrayal of them. It's stereotypical.
But perhaps
or whatever.
It was a step forward.
But yeah, it was a step forward. That's the important thing. They it wasn't the best representation of them, but at least they weren't idiots. At least they weren't like portrayed as savages or something. They were portrayed as wily and smarter. So yeah, there you go. And then there's a million movies. Unfortunately, there's way too many Mel Gibson movies that you could watch. And I'm not doing that. I'm not doing We Were Soldiers or Hacksaw Ridge or any of that. There's a lot of Tom Cruise movies, too, when I think about it. There's Born on the 4th of July. You could go with Top Gun, either one. Top Gun or Top Gun 2, A New Hope. I say that because it's a ripoff of Star Wars.
I was going to say, didn't Star Wars already do that?
Yeah, yeah.
It's literally.
Watch the new Top Gun movie and think of the first Star Wars movie and tell me I'm wrong. It's the exact same plot. It's the same movie. It's more of a ripoff of the first Star Wars movie than The Force Awakens was. It's fine. I don't know how I feel about Tom Cruise. I'm just throwing that out there at the end. I find him so entertaining. And everybody who's worked with him, like Simon Pegg, who is an actor I really admire a lot.
Oh,
you know,
he's
Shaun
great.
Of the Dead and in the Cornetto trilogy. He's fantastic. He was on a great TV show called Spaced.
Oh, you know. Oh, I was about to say it. I was struggling to think of the name of it. Spaced was so good.
Spaced. Yeah, he's fantastic in it. He's worked with Tom Cruise on the Mission Impossible movies, and he has insisted Tom Cruise is like the greatest guy to work with. Bill Hader will say that Tom Cruise is like the nicest, classiest guy. I read a PA, a production assistant, who was talking. It was on Reddit. It was like an AMA thing on Reddit, and they were like, "Who's the best actor you've ever worked with?" And he was like, "Tom Cruise." I met the guy, told him my name. We had like a brief discussion about Legos, and 3 weeks later, Tom Cruise comes up to me and starts talking to me about Legos again.
Wow.
But on the other hand, he's also got like this weird Scientology thing that's beyond weird.
And he jumps on couches, which is incredibly rude.
But yeah, it's Oprah's couch, Tom. Does she go to your house and start putting her feet all over your couch like
How
Rick James
you,
at Eddie
Cruise?
Murphy's house? Yeah.
Where's your manners?
But he also like might be using slaves. Like, yeah. there's some allegations
there's some,
involving
some
Scientology
stuff is sus
and slavery.
About Tom Cruise. Yeah.
I'm just saying, I don't know. I want to like him because his movies are so damn entertaining. But I'm not going to love him. I think that's the difference. All right. Well, I know who I do love. I love you guys, and I appreciate you hanging out with us and doing the show. I don't know what the hell I'm hearing right now. What are you playing?
This is a song called Losing Touch by a British group by the name of Frank Moody. It's got kind of a neo-disco thing.
I kind of like it.
It's kind kind of groovy.
All right, it's a good song to take us out to the weekend.
Right. Party on.
Great to have you back tonight, Matt Butler.
Lighters in the air.
Really appreciate it. Bye, everybody. Have a great weekend. Bye.